Hi, and welcome to the Cutaneous Connection, a podcast from the staff at Dermatology Times, aiming to provide you with the latest updates in dermatology, to exclusive interviews with leading industry experts, and a glimpse of what goes on behind the scenes. I'm your host, Morgan Petronelli. In this episode, sponsored by Insight, we'll take a closer look at vitiligo, including the symptoms, psychosocial impacts on patients, unmet needs, driving factors for both patient and doctor dissatisfaction for current treatments, and emerging research for the skin condition. Let's dive right in. Today, I have joining me Dr. Pearl Grimes, founder and director of the Vitiligo and Pigmentation Institute of Southern California. She's been involved in vitiligo research for more than 30 years. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I want to start off by asking you, what is vitiligo?
Well, first and foremost, Morgan, it's such an honor to join you for this podcast to talk about a subject that is near and dear to my heart, that I remain passionate about for over 30 years, and that is vitiligo. Vitiligo is a chronic autoimmune condition where the body attacks its melanocytes in the skin. We certainly know, I like to describe it as the trifecta of genetics, autoimmunity, and oxidative stress. And the end point is loss of melanocytes in the skin. And what do we see clinically? We see localized or generalized white patches or areas of depigmentation.
And my next question for you, how does this condition impact patients on a psychosocial level?
Certainly, how does vitiligo impact patients at a psychosocial level? There is no doubt that vitiligo is one of the most psychologically devastating conditions that we see in dermatology. It impacts 0.5% to 2% of the population, and it's emotionally overwhelming for patients. Unfortunately, we live in a society where we're judged often by our appearance. So how does that translate for the patient who has multiple or localized patches that are in major contrast to their natural skin tone? We know from quality of life studies that vitiligo can cause low self-esteem. Patients are often singled out. They feel stigmatized. They feel ostracized. And the true psychological impact of vitiligo too can vary from culture to culture. We know that there are areas in India, the Middle East, where if you have vitiligo, it's emotionally difficult, not only for the patient, but for their families. So again, if you look at the spectrum of studies on quality of life, psychological aspects of vitiligo, it's overwhelming for many, many patients. So I wrote a paper a number of years ago on the psychological manifestations of vitiligo, and we called it White Patches and Bruised Souls, given the profound impact on individuals.
And off of that, what would you say are some of the key unmet needs in vitiligo?
I think that there are quite a few unmet needs for patients who have this psychologically devastating disorder. Number one, if we look at vitiligo from a historical perspective, since I have been involved in vitiligo research, we've moved the needle a little bit. But what do I mean in moving the needle? Historically, patients have been told repeatedly there is no treatment for vitiligo. So in addition to the profound psychological impact, you go to see your physician and the physician said, there's nothing we can do. But I think that we are moving forward, but a key unmet need is conveying to patients that we really are making advances in the science, and I'm going to call it the humanity of vitiligo. We have more physicians on board who I think have a better understanding of the psychological devastation of vitiligo. We've worked out the pathways that are key in mediating the destruction of melanocytes. So again, an exciting time for patients.
In my next question, you know, what do you believe are some of the biggest factors driving patient or doctor's dissatisfaction with current treatments for vitiligo?
I think that, again, I'm going to approach it from the perspective of my experience having been involved in vitiligo research for such a long time, having run multiple clinical trials, basic science research studies. But I think, unfortunately, residents, if you look at that pipeline of young physicians and older physicians, retiring physicians who have entered the platform, who have entered our specialty, if you're told during your training repeatedly that there is no treatment for vitiligo and that it's more of a cosmetic condition, given the stark contrast between white patches and the normal skin, when you go out into the real world and you practice, what are you going to do? That will be your mindset. But again, I think that I'm delighted that it is changing. We have far more clinicians now interested in vitiligo. So I think we're swinging the pendulum the other way. And it's a gradual process, but I think we clearly are engaging more physicians now who are really interested in the science of vitiligo, who now engage it as an autoimmune disease rather than a cosmetic disease. Vitiligo patients have a spectrum of comorbidities, the most common being Hashimoto's thyroiditis, but there is a spectrum of comorbidities. So it's taken a long time. We're not there yet, but guess what? We're moving forward. We're getting there in being able to change the minds. We're able to change how our compatriots view this condition, and that is essential. Vitiligo must be seen as an autoimmune disorder rather than a cosmetic disorder.
Jumping off of that question as well, what would you say are some of the biggest driving factors for patient dissatisfaction with current treatments?
Well, I think some of the major factors in really driving the patient perspective and feeling that treatments do not work, it's multifactorial. Number one, when patients go in for a consultation, again, let's go back to what we just talked about. Number one, they're told there's no treatment for vitiligo. Then number two, if they get in the conversation, well, we do have something we can prescribe, but it may not work so well, and it's going to take a long time. So the patients leave totally frustrated, or nothing is teased out. So the approach is there is no hope instilled. And I get this all the time in my practice. So the first part of the conversation is to instill hope and understanding and empathy. There is no quick fix for vitiligo. It takes time. So again, it is about instilling hope, having them understand the mechanisms of the condition. And once you establish that and you give anyone hope for anything, you're able to move them forward, I think, in many, many instances. And that's what we do. It's time consuming, but it's my passion.
And my last question I have for you, what is on the horizon for vitiligo research? You know, what are you most excited by?
I remain hopeful. I have joy every day in where we are in our understanding for vitiligo. But again, it's a multifaceted approach. Part of the approach is, again, just being able to address the emotional needs of patients and approaching them from the humanistic perspective.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Dr. Grimes, and you have a great day.
Thank you, Morgan.
For more Dermatology Times content, from articles and videos to podcasts, you can visit www.dermatologytimes.com.